All right. Thank you, team. That was great worship this morning. I mentioned in my prayer, Jack Wolf and Stephanie are here with us this morning. And Stephanie, how many of y'all were the ladies were at the Women's Connect this past Tuesday? Good. Good handful of y'all. Stephanie was our speaker at the Women's Connect. And it just so happened, I don't know that we all planned it this way, but Jack is with us this morning preaching. And Ray and I talked with Jack about this several months ago. And so we've been looking forward to this for a couple months. And Jack and Stephanie are a tremendously meaningful, special couple to us, to Laura and me and to Ray and Rachel. I can tell you that this church may not even exist without Jack and Stephanie's encouragement. You know, getting a church off the ground is no easy task, and it's not something that we do in our own strength. It's something that God calls us to, and this team of people in the room have all worked together, and God's blessed it. But Jack and Stephanie have really been our coaches. Jack is my church planting coach, and Ray and I meet with Jack once or twice a month. And Jack has been a pastor for 20, 30 years. He's a church planter. He started a church. A church that they started was in downtown Duluth. And I tell people, Jack built a church. Literally, he was a brick mason and laid the bricks for their church where Eddie Owens Presents is now. That was where Calvary Christian Fellowship was, and that's where Jack pastored for numbers of years. And even the idea that we had for this church of getting kind of out of the box and meeting in a brewery, seeds of that were really encouraged over the years for me when I would see what Jack and Stephanie were doing. They had the idea of, they found a community, kind of a clubhouse for a neighborhood that was put up for sale. And it had tennis courts and Olympic-sized swimming pool and commercial kitchen. And their church bought that property and did ministry out of that property. And they rented it. It was a revenue generator for their church. And they did all kinds of things in that community. They sold memberships to the community. So they had people in the community, in their church, all the time. And I thought, what a brilliant idea, just out of the box, reaching people in ways that that maybe otherwise people who wouldn't go to a regular church, so to speak. And so they've been an encouragement to me for a number of years. There was something that I wrote down. Let's see. Oh, church planting. You know, in this story, and I'll turn the mic over to Jack because every second I talk, I'm taking from him. But I want you to know Jack and Stephanie. But God has been in the details of this church plant right from the very beginning. And one of the ways that I just saw, wow, God's hand is on this, is when we knew that we were going to start a church, I called Jack, and I said, Jack, we're starting a church, and I need a church planting coach. I don't know what I'm doing. We don't know what we're doing. You've got years on us, and you've had experience in doing this, and would you be willing to coach me in church planting? And Jack said, Drew, do you know what I just did today? You remember this, Jack? He said, I quit my job. He was working in I think for a large carpet manufacturer, and he said, I just quit my job today in order to coach church planters, and you're my first phone call. So it was confirming to Jack, and it was confirming to me in a lot of ways, and they've just been such a blessing. Jack truly is a jack of all trades. Stephanie and Jack, Jack's got a podcast. I think I've got, oh, there's Jack and Stephanie. So you can get on Jack's website at My Epic Faith, and then Stephanie's a certified health nutritionist and a nutrition coach, whole food health coach. She's fantastic, and we've been working with her in all kinds of things and with Jack, so that's a little bit about them. But Jack has been not only a church planter, and I mentioned brick mason. Let's see. He custom cabinet maker, a diesel mechanic, a master welder, a fuel tanker driver, a crop farmer, a hog farmer, custom stone and residential brick, tile setter, glass block specialist, golf pro. He's been a golf pro. He's really done it all. So commercial real estate and general contractor. Commercial general contractor, and he also serves on the Sugar Hill, City of Sugar Hill Downtown Development Authority. So they're very engaged in our community. They live in Sugar Hill. We love them, and I'll stop talking and invite Jack to come and speak to us this morning. Oh, and by the way, what's the next slide, Craig? I want you to know, so Jack has a podcast, Beyond the Shire. So if you go to any Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever, pick up Jack's podcast. It's great. So thank you for being here, Jack.
Oh,
thank
absolutely.
You for being here, Stephanie.
Hey, put that other picture back up, the one that Drew had. Just two things. Before I launch into that, Drew, I've known Drew forever, and he's just a tremendous man of God, him and his wife, his family. She's been a friend of mine for many, many years when he was on staff at Perimeter, and I'm very thankful for our friendship, our relationship, and what they're doing. Of course, got to meet Ray and Rachel, and others are here as well that I know, and I'm just glad that you're here. I'm going to make an adjustment right now, and leave that picture up. I'm going to do this. By the way, I make myself right at home. I'm not bothered by absolutely anything. You might be bothered by me in a minute, but I'm not bothered by much. There we go. This is great for people that are in their 40s, but when you're in for bifocal work, this is kind of what happens as it turns out. Two things I love about that picture. On the right side, the love of my life, Stephanie Wolf, of 48 years. I'm very thankful for her and her encouragement and who she is, and she's just a tremendous leader and teacher. The second thing I like about the picture, you can actually see my hair is messed up, which is actually very encouraging. How many notice that right there? Isn't that good? My hair. When people say, hey, your hair's messed up, I go, thank you. All right, let's dig into it, shall we? If you have a Bible, hold it up. There we go. Yeah, phones count now. Back when I was pastoring, we didn't hold phones up. Open up into the book of Ephesians, if you would. And go to chapter 4. So I want to dig into this morning and kind of we're going to kind of read through all the verses quickly. And then we're going to go back and recap some things and kind of look at it in a little bit more detail. But before we read chapter 4, and I know you don't have this, Craig, but you can leave that up. I'm going to go back, if you wouldn't mind, turn back one chapter to chapter 3. And I want you to hear the prayer of the Apostle Paul, what's on his heart as he begins to unpack when he moves into, we know there's not chapters in the Bible, when he moves into his next thought. And he says this, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you'll be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, and grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Dude, we ought to take up an offering right now. Did you get this? I mean, go home and read this over and over. This will stir our hearts to the core. He's praying, I mean, about, man, who we are and what God's done and what He wants to do in through us. And then that's kind of the backdrop of prayer as he launches into chapter 4. So I'm going to read quick. You need to listen fast with me. I'm like a fire hose. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us has by each one of us, grace has been given us as Christ has apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to people. And when he does, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? We're going to get back to that a little bit later. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe, so that Christ himself gave, and this is going to be a little focus today, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. And we're going to focus in on those gifts a little bit this morning. I call them gifts, really not positions in the church, but we'll talk about that. But here's why. So that we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Would you agree with me that there's some crafty, cunning, deceitful things in the world that we live in? And the thing that beats that, that combats that, is the gifts and callings that God's put on us to stand against those things that are against what God believes and does. He says, instead, there's an option. Speak the truth in love and we'll grow and become in every respect a mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body. Everybody say the whole body. Joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Everybody said? Boy, that was a mouthful, wasn't it? So a couple quick things. Number one, the book of Ephesians was a letter written to everybody. It was everybody would have got this letter. The slaves would have got this letter. Everybody in the community would have got this, be like me writing this letter and sending it to everybody in Atlanta. This was not a letter just for pastors. Just so you know, the entire Bible is for you whether you're a pastor or not. Amen? So when you get to the pastoral epistles, don't skip it. Just go ahead and dig right in. It applies to all of us, everything. And so we see this, that is written to everybody. And so this is for everybody. And in the first kind of six verses there, what you'll notice is that out of this heart that Paul spoke from, he urges us. He says he urges us. Here's what urge means. This is about, if someone urges you to do something, how many know there's a little fire there, right? A little kind of, I urge you to go to bed. I urge you to clean the table. I urge you to take out the garbage. I am urging you. Here's what urge means. To earnestly or persistently persuade someone to do something. That not if you're in the mood, like, I don't really feel like it. So what does he urge us in? There's seven quick things right here, and I'll just tell you what they are. To live a life worthy of the calling. To live a life worthy of the calling. He says to be completely humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to bear with one another, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Make every effort. That means I got to make every effort to keep the unity. And everybody said? You can say amen, right? Yeah. In the bond of peace. So he's got these seven things: live worthy, completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another. You know, this is we got to have some unity. This is what really we're wrapping our arms and our head around, it to be unified together around this. We don't have time to disagree and argue about nonsense. We need to get down to the basics and get unified, have our heart burned together, be patient with one another. If there's something our community, our society missing, we aren't patient with anybody. Make every effort to keep the unity. Make every effort. Make it. It's not easy sometimes, right? It's not easy. So this sounds kind of important because what we're going to hear in a minute are these diverse functions that God has given us. You know, if we don't have unity, then diversity really can't work together very well. So we can all go off in all different directions. You know, if we're not united, if we don't have a common purpose and identity, you know, it's kind of like trying to herd cats. You know, we got to try to be together, unified. And these are the things that bring unity so that when we understand diversity, we can be unified in what we actually have diversity in. Does that make any sense? You know, yeah, of course. I mean, let me give you an example. How many are thankful that your body, is unified? Everybody said? How many know your body is diverse? How many are thankful that your body parts just don't decide to do their own thing? Now, if you got up this morning and the nose, your nose was in the middle of your forehead, you'd be going, I ain't going to church today. Oh, yeah, or this guy's definitely going. Okay, here's a character right here. Watch him. Yeah, your nose is not moving around. You have diversity of your body, different body parts that function uniquely, but they're a part of a unified system that works together for the whole. That's what the body of Christ actually is. The thing that makes our body so unique that we're not really aware of is that our body parts stay connected. Thank God my leg just doesn't want to go off and do its own thing right now. It's connected. It's for the whole thing. No, this is what we're about today. Today you're preaching at Good News Church. I love that, Good News. And we've got to all be involved in this. My hands and my arms and my mouth and my ears and everything is connected to what I'm doing right now. So I have diversity, but unity in what we're actually getting ready to deliver. Boy, the church needs to get a hold of this. Sorry, I'm a little challenging, if that's going to be okay. But yeah, our body parts. And is there anybody here that would like to get rid of a body part? Yeah, I'm just tired of this. Now, I know that Hollywood and different things can make us do different things, but how many are thankful for all your body parts? Anybody wanting to give one up? If I just had an axe right here, who wants to lose their finger right now? No, Jack, I want to keep it all. No, we don't want to lose our body parts. We want all of our body parts. We want all of our body parts working together. And we don't give every body part a lot of attention, but every part really matters. Our fingernails, everything, it all matters. The hair on our arms, it all matters. It's all trying to do something. This is how God designed the body. Then he goes, then look at verse 7. I'm going to reread those now. But to each one, Craig, you're good. I want the glasses up there. But to each one of us, everybody say each one. That's every human being on the planet. Each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Notice that Christ apportioned it. He apportioned it. This is why it says when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave, what did he give? What did he give? He gave gifts. He gave gifts to all people, all people. Not just the pastors, not the elders, not the deacons, not whatever title you want to give. If you're a human being, God gave you a gift, and you got a gift whether you believe in him or not. And he said, what does he mean? He ascended. He mean except that he descended into the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one that ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the universe. And then Christ himself gave. Who gave him? Christ. Each one of us has been a portion. All of us received to a greater or lesser degree all of these different types of gifts. Now, when I read apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and I'm going to give you another verse here in a second. These I don't see these as titles. I see this as gifts. Christ gave the gifts to the church, and these gifts are given as he, when he ascended, he gave all these gifts so that we could come into maturity, the gifts of the Spirit. I got another verse here. I got to find it right here real quick. I lost it somewhere. Oh, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, and then we'll dig into this. Look at Ephesians. You don't have it there, but I love this. Now, if you know Ephesians 1, I mean, if you know Ephesians, man, it's big picture stuff. Big picture stuff. I love Ephesians 1. But verse 9, it says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Who's it purposing in Christ? To put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things. God's bringing together everything in Jesus Christ and giving them actually to us. So these are not, when we look at apostle, prophet, evangelist, we think, oh, he's an evangelist or he's this or he's that.
What does this mean? He gathered all of these things up into Christ. All these things have been gathered into Christ because Christ, fully human, fully man, because Adam blew it. How many know that the Bible says that Christ was the second Adam? How'd the first Adam do? Not very good. I don't know how long it went. Did the first Adam know what to do? Yes, he did. Yep, God gave him instructions. Here's the deal. Things are pretty simple. We got the big garden. We're going to give you a wife. We got really one tree that we need to be concerned about. This one right here, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, later in the Bible, if you read Genesis chapter 3, when God is talking to himself, the Trinity, he said he was worried about man. He says, because he's become like us, he knows now between good and evil. Read it in early Genesis. I think it's chapter 3. Oh, he's become like us. He knows good and evil. You and I were not designed nor created to understand good and evil. Only God can handle all that. But we know what Adam did. He's standing there while Eve's looking at the apple or the fruit or the fig or the peach, whatever works for you. I don't care. What? And just silent because Eve goes ahead and takes a bite. Maybe he's thinking, let's see what happens. You know what the guy should have done? Slapped the fruit right out of her hand. Honey, you know we're not supposed to eat that. First Adam blew it. First Adam didn't come into full maturity. First Adam didn't grow in the way that God really wanted him to grow. Adam failed. He possessed all the gifts, all the attributes within him, but he never brought them into full maturity. Guess what Jesus did? Jesus brought them all into full maturity. I know it's hard for us to wrap our head around at times, but Jesus wasn't a pretend man. He wasn't a fake man. He didn't have like a little Superman under his little thing. He was 100% man. Everything. He fully matured as a man. And guess what Jesus did? When he fully matured as a man, as Ephesians 4 tells us, then he gave those gifts unto us. When he rose again, all those gifts that were in him were given unto us. He possessed them all, every one of them. Throw up the prism slide if you would. You have to believe that Jesus, he was tempted in every way. He struggled like you and I struggle. We know from when he went to the garden, when the enemy was deceiving him, trying to get him to give in. He would not give in. He did not give up. He would not quit. He did not do that with his Superman strength. He did that with his humanity. He matured as a man. And when he fully matured as a man, and when he died and rose again, so I want you to look at you see the prism there, right? So in Ephesians chapter 4, if you go back there, if you look at verse 9, that kind of verse 7, 8, 9, where those gifts were Christ apportioned. That's why he said when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he descended into lower parts of the regions? And then he gave these gifts. So the right light on the left, that's like Jesus. I got it all. I got all the gifts. Then he goes through the little prism right here. He dies. He rises again. When he rises again, he gave the gifts unto men. See the little colors over there? And all of a sudden, everything that was in Jesus Christ, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, that was in Christ, that had brought full maturity, came into us as human beings. You know, I want to, all you teenagers here, you young people, Jesus struggled just like you do. He struggled. He was challenged just like all of us. And yet he went through it and became mature. And when he completed that, he gave all those gifts unto men. Let me ask you this question. How many have ever done Strength Finders? A lot of people, Strength Finders. I'm going to tell you that, how many have done Enneagram? How many have done Myers-Briggs? You know, everybody's got somebody doing a darn test. Amen? Got to do this test. Got to figure out who you are. Got to identify it. Now, a lot of times those tests are handed out and nothing's ever done with them. Well, everybody tests. This is who you are. Praise God. I hope you do something with it. Hallelujah. I don't know what to tell you, but this is who you are. So in Strength Finders, there's Like they give you your top five. I just want you to know that whatever assessment you're taking, whatever assessment it is, whoever dreamed it up, whoever found about it, dug into it, figured it out, it all founded in God. Every one of them. Whether they got it right, half wrong, doesn't really matter. It all came because He created us. We were made in His image. All the gifts, all of them were in Christ Jesus. And all of those gifts now were, instead of in being in one guy, Jesus goes, I've brought this into maturity and I'm giving these gifts unto man right now, and watch out. Watch out. And He said He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists. What else did He give? Shepherds, pastors, teachers. So I just wanted to wrap your head around this for a second. And I don't want to make anybody mad, but if I do, I won't be back next week. So I'm not going to be too worried about it. I'm just kidding with you. You'll be talking to Drew afterwards. Who is this guy? Apostles. These are not titles. These are gifts that were in God and in Christ Himself. Here's what an apostle existed before there was an apostle Paul. And by the way, just to get this out of the way, when we throw these, Paul never referred to himself as Apostle Paul. I'm Paul the Apostle. Here's what an apostle is. An apostle is someone who wants to send people out and scale something. They want to make it big. Boy, can anybody think, anybody in the business world who's apostolic? How about Steve Jobs? Apostolic? Man, he wants to build something, grow something, make it big, make it explode. If you know entrepreneurs, they come into town, we could do this and this and this. We can go here. We can make this bigger. We can do that. We can scale it up. We could build it. Bing, bang, boom. Wow, it'd be exciting. That's someone who's apostolic. See, Paul said, I'm Paul the Apostle. I'm Paul who's been sent. I'm Paul that have this fire inside of me to scale something, to grow something, make it big. That's who I am. He was declaring his gift as far as how he was equipped. That would be like, so when we say, and no offense, you can call him pastor, whatever, pastor, you know, we can call him titles. But Paul didn't refer to himself as a title. So I'm Paul. I'm apostolic. I build things. I make things grow. I'm out and about. I'm on the move. That's me. If you read, I'm apostolic. My poor wife, dear Lord, I've never settled down into one thing ever. I'm always off to the next thing. I've had over 20. Drew left off. I know how to drive a Zamboni. I built the ice rink over here. When I was pastoring a church, I was getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go work at an ice rink. I loved to skate. I thought I can work there for free and skate for free. I learned how to drive a Zamboni. Yeah. I don't know why. I just like new things. Well, I stuck with you because you're amazing. You're the only one that would put up with this. Talk about a gift of grace. Apostolic people, they want to grow. They want to build it. So, you know, if you're an electrician, you don't go into somebody, hi, my name is Electrician Bob. No, you never say that. You use your first name and tell them what you do, what your gift is. Paul said, I'm Paul the Apostle. I build things, I grow things, I make it happen. Apostolic people, prophetic people, prophetic personalities, prophetic giftings, if you will. These type of personalities want to reveal and reform. They want to make something better. They want to straighten it out. They want to get it correct. It's someone who has this personality that will come to your church and go, hey, Drew, are we going to do anything about the homeless people here? Have you noticed that they're over here and they're outside? They're not really being taken care of? We got to do something about that. Prophetic type of people are always looking at a lot of social issues, things that need to be corrected, things that need to be fixed, things that are out of whack. And they're going to bring it to your attention. Are we paying attention to this? Are we looking at that? Oh, look at this. A slide is up. Amazing. So they reveal, they reform. I'm going to give you an example. Maybe as I go along. Apostolic people. Was Jesus apostolic? You're darn right he was. Did he want to scale and send? Yes, he did. Was Jesus ever prophetic? Did he ever want to reveal or reform anything? I think when he's in the temple kicking tables over, I think this is very revealing and reforming. I think this is trying to reform something. That's what I think. Yeah, we got to fix this. It's not Shepherd Jesus in the temple. Oh, no. There's another personality of God that's there, this prophetic side of God that's in you, in this room right now. There's a mix of all of this in this room. I'll get to that in a second. An evangelist. When we think of evangelist, we think this is the guy knocking on the door. Hey, I'm here. I got three questions to ask you. If you die right now, where are you going to go? I got to be honest with you. That's not real evangelist to me. That may be more prophetic. They got to get you straightened out. But evangelists are people that excite and invite. Here's how you know that you're with an evangelist or someone that has that kind of personality. Have you ever gone to a party where you went and you didn't know, and a friend got you there and you didn't know anybody else? How many of you, an evangelist got you there? Oh, what's your name? Cravens. Cravens, man, I got to tell you what, we're going over to Bob's house and he's got a thing and a thing and a bing, bang, boom, and you're going to love it. You going to come with me? Oh, yeah. Heck yes, he's coming. An evangelist got you there. When you show up at some place you didn't intend on going, an evangelist got you there. They excite, they invite, they're captivating, they're drawing. Did we ever see Jesus being evangelistic? Oh, I don't know. Let me think. Yes, of course, many times. And then the shepherd, one who protects and provides. Was Jesus a good shepherd? Yes, he was. He was an amazing shepherd. Took care of people. But he also protected people. Do you know that a lot of people in law enforcement are shepherd-type people? What's it say in a lot of police cars, provide and protect? They care. They don't want any injustice to happen. They don't want anybody, anything happen to their people. And then teacher. A teacher is one who explains and trains. I am not a teacher. I will not explain much to you at all. I hopefully will inspire you. I will challenge you. I will motivate you. But if you're going to learn something, if you want to learn something over and over and over again, I'm not your guy. I'm just going to go, here's the tools, figure it out. My wife, though, whew, she is a teacher. She can teach. She can duplicate and repeat and duplicate and repeat and duplicate and repeat. I'm so bored with that, oh my goodness. I just want to get up and let's get going on this and see if I can't draw a big crowd and see what happens. That's why I need her. Was Jesus a teacher? Yes, he was. He gave all those gifts, Christ did. If you go back to the prism, those things you see right there, they're now interspersed in this entire group of people right here. Now, let me just mention, let's go back to Strength Finders for a second. Strength Finders is, I like Strength Finders because it's Strength Finder, not Weakness Finder. How many like that right off the bat? Yeah, like, let's find your faults and talk about those. Strength Finder. So there's 34 of them, and in the top five, my top five are, check this, this is wild, check this out. My number one is Activator. Activator people are like, when do we get started? My wife has to be careful. She says, I'd like to see a window in that little wall right there. Before she's got the sentence done, I'm in the truck headed to Home Depot. I'm ready to get going. Activator, woo, win others over. I'm a chatterbox. I love to win others over. Okay? And then communication is number three. Adaptability is number four. I could parachute anywhere. You could stand me up on an appointment. I really don't care. And then connectedness, I see how all the pieces fit. But here's the point about that. Those are my top five. There's a 1 in 34 million chance. Everybody say 34 million. There's a 1 in 34 million chance that there's another human being on this planet that has the exact five in the exact same order. You know, a scripture comes to my mind. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm a finely woven tapestry. Listen, you are as unique as anybody in this room. You are unique. You are a finely woven tapestry. And here's what God did when he dispersed all those gifts. You can go to the other slide. I'm bored with that one. I'll leave that up right now. You are a finely woven tapestry. And here's the interesting thing about like how these gifts work. Like I'll use Strength Finder as an example, Activator. Depending on what order they're in, they all kind of affect the other. So the same way here, when God dispersed these apostolic yearnings, these giftings, when he gave them unto men, so you know, everybody got a little bit of all five. So, true confession. What time is it? It's about been time for me to quit it. Here's a true confession. I pastored a church for many years. And remember, number one is activator. Like, let's get something done. Now, I'm older now. I'm 66, by the way. And I made a lot of mistakes early on. That's for sure. But I'm activator. I'm like, let's get it going. My second one is woo, though. I can win you over to a project in a minute. So I had a 360 test done one time, and people saw me as a very shepherding kind of guy. Well, the truth of the matter is I was very shepherding if we could get busy doing something. I could win you over to a project which seems to be shepherding, but my motivation was to actually try to get something done. Everybody following this? So our gifts are unique and different and woven together, which is why, by the way, we need each other desperately. If I could go back to my 40-year Jack, I'd say, man, listen better. Yes, you can get it done. Yes, you can motivate people, but you might want to listen to what the teacher has to say because he might be able to set a system up where you could duplicate this better. I'd be going, I don't have time for that. I got to get going. That's called immaturity. We need each other to mature, to listen to one another, to hear one another, to understand this, because the Bible says he's trying to bring us into maturity so we're no longer infants tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine, that we're growing up into a mature body from him, the whole body, not just the leadership body, not just those who are voted in body, not just those who are ordained body, every single human being on the planet, everybody. Why? Because there's something to get done. I had a coffee one time with a guy, and we were talking about this kind of thing, and and I said, man, isn't it great that ligaments in the Bible? And I could tell he looked at me in disbelief. And then we were chatting away, and then I noticed he had his iPhone over there to the side. I knew what he was doing. He was looking up, see if ligament was in the Bible. And he looked over his phone. I saw him. I'm kind of watching out of the corner of my eye. I saw his, kind of like, what do you know? Ligaments in the Bible. How many love ligaments in the Bible? I love that ligaments in the Bible. I mean, we're getting down into the finer detail of physiology of your body. God says that every part, every fiber matters, and that we work together, complementing each other, understanding who we are, appreciating that, not arguing and not trying to put everybody into a mold, but maturing in this way. Now, just one quick little note on maturing, and then I'll wrap up. We see these characteristics in Jesus. We see them in God the Father. They're within us. He gave them. He dispersed them. And we all know maturity happens in different stages, at different times, for different people. It's good for us to allow people to mature kind of at their own pace. At their own pace. I mean, at 66, I'm just catching on some stuff that people in their 30s knew. I'm like, sorry I'm late to the party, but I'm glad I'm finding out now. Do you know that when you think about working together as a team and working as a body, and I'll leave this as a little example, let people discover who they are instead of us always pointing out who they should be or who they are. Do you know, if you have kids, if you ever had a baby, you'll know this. When a baby's born, before they can walk, talk, they're still pooping their pants, they're doing all that stuff babies do. When they discover their feet, the very first thing they do with their foot is put it in their mouth. That's the first thing they do. Well, not the first thing, but it eventually ends up in the mouth. I'm not that flexible, but I don't have any desire, but it gets in the mouth. And maybe the baby thinks, hey, what's this? And how long has that been down there? Then they kind of roll over, and then they're on their knees. They kind of do that rocking thing. You ever remember that? That rocking thing? And then, you know, they're crawling. And then there's a day that They kind of get, they're thinking about that thing I had in my mouth. I wonder what it actually does. Could I actually, stand on it, I guess, if I knew what stand means. And they're up by the coffee table, and they're standing, and parents are freaking out. They're going, Jill, come look, Stephanie, come look. The kids are standing by the coffee table. You're so excited. They discovered their feet. And they take a couple steps, and boom, down they go. But they walked because they became aware that they had feet. You could go over to that child and get a PowerPoint presentation out and show them pictures and walk them through the whole paces and say, look, you should be doing this by now. Okay, this is walking. See this? Pay attention. I don't want to have to tell you again. I'm telling you, you can walk. Get after it. What's my point? The point is that people really get into their gifting when they become aware of it themselves instead of having it always pointed out. This is what you should be doing. This is what it ought to be done. You could be doing this right now. And granted, you know, there's coaching and all those kind of things, but God has bringing these things to us by the Holy Spirit. When we become aware of them and then get in a community where we can work together, we're no longer being tossed around by everything and everybody's happy. Everybody's working together for the body of Christ. We're not looking for a position. We're looking for a function. That's what we're looking for, a function. Where do I function? Together. I got to tell you, I can pick up silverware with my feet, but I'm not going to eat with them. I'm just glad they're planted where they are right now. But a function. So these APES principles, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, I could dig into it deeply. But these are things that God has given us, and they're in different orders. Everybody in this room are identified with one of those five on some level. Yep, I'm like that. Yep, that's me. Yep, that's me. That's me. But God's saying, come on. Understand, I've given these gifts. I love this picture. The father and the child, or the mother and the child. Just looking at that beautiful, beautiful creature that they made. When God looks at you, you are not just another cog in the wheel. You're not just another peg in the bench. Listen, if you're alive and breathing and hear my voice, you are uniquely and divinely fashioned. So unique and special. And God wants to fan the flame of that uniqueness. Don't let anybody or anything keep it alive. Yeah, we need to mature and all that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. But man, look in the mirror. Get up tomorrow morning and point at yourself. And I am a unique individual, fashioned and beautiful for God. I'm proud of who I am. Don't try to be anybody else except you. But be the you that continues to develop. And then how do we work together? And you know, just like our body, right? How do we continue to, you know, you add this and we add that and wow, we're having fun, aren't we? I encourage you to go through Ephesians 4 and kind of read through that stuff again and think about it. I appreciate Drew and Ray, their heart, the way that they pastor and lead, the kind of spirit that's here in this place. God's on the move. He's doing something, and you're a part of the church, the whole church. If you notice in the Bible, he said there's only one head, there's only one church. We're not the head, and we're the body. Everybody who's a believer is a body. Someone asked me one time how many people attended my church. I told them 2 billion people attend my church. I said, why is that? Because I said, there's 2 billion people that say they're Christians on the planet, and we're all part of the church. There's only one church. There's only one leader. That's Jesus. But think of the uniqueness that he has in those millions of people. And think of the power and the impact that we can make together. If we understand our gifts, our uniqueness, our calling, and make that happen. So we're no longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but seeing the body become a tour. And we're not counting people. We are trying to count on making an impact in those who don't know Jesus yet. And everybody said, all right, I'm done. Can I pray for us? Precious Lord, thank you for making us unique and fashioning us together. Thank you for how proud we are of who we are.
Now, I thank you for this church. I thank you for Drew and the leadership. Thank you for everything that you're wanting to do in and through them. May you do exceedingly abundantly of all that they could ever think, imagine, or ask for the glory of the King. In Jesus' name, amen.